Dear ones, let's unite our hearts in prayer. Lord, we have assembled together, and we give thee thanks for this day, for this opportunity. Lord, as we have assembled in thy house with a glorious new day in which thou hast given us a night of rest and has brought us together, thy word, thy everlasting word of life is before us. O Lord, an eternal hope doth shine within our hearts as we open thy word and we dwell upon thee, the giver of life and that eternal. So bless our coming together, Lord, all who are here. May we feel thy presence. We know that thou art here as we have assembled in thy name. We pray, Lord Jesus, that we would feel thy holy presence within our hearts and here with us as we look into thy word. As we open this word, open our hearts, O Lord, that we would feel thee and thy blessings pour out upon us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear ones, for this morning's meditation, with God's help, I desire to read from the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 5. The Gospel of Luke, chapter number 5. Ljubav zneželim da se pročita sa Božjom pomoću iz Evanđelja po Luci iz 5. glave. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little bit from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon, answering, said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, and that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they brought their ships to the land, they forsook all and followed him. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. And it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching, there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with the palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not by what way they might, and when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? And when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, and take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them, and took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his house, in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And they said unto him, why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise the disciples of the Pharisees, but thine eat and drink? And he said unto them, can ye make the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days. And he spake also a parable unto them, no man putteth a piece of a new garment upon an old, if otherwise then both the new maketh a rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. But new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. No man also having drunk old wine straightway desireth new, for he saith, the old is better. May God bless. Dear brothers and dear sisters and dear friends, as we have read this chapter this morning, we see a call that goes out to his first disciples and beyond. And we see conversion in this chapter. We see the gospel and the power of the gospel. We see the eradication of the old Mosaic law and the new that is coming in, the gospel of Jesus Christ. The only way is Jesus. The only way is to follow him. And his call is simple. To his disciples then, and to you and me today, it's the same. Follow me. And when we consider ourselves, our helpless state, we can really fall into despair. But when we see the promises of Jesus, dear ones, we have hope, and we are empowered by him and his word. But you have to go through a conversion that has nothing to do with the old, as is described here. You can't fit the old into the new into the old. It cannot go, cannot work. Because the old cannot contain the new, as he describes here, the putting of new wine into old bottles. The old bottles are already stretched out to the max. You put in new wine, that power of that wine will burst those bottles, wineskins, in that day. They're already stretched out and dried out. New wine blows them apart. You have to put new into new. It's describing, dear ones, what Nicodemus had come to learn also. You must be born again. There's nothing that you can salvage in your old life, and to accept the gospel, it will not work. You will spill it. You will have nothing. And we see that, dear ones, throughout this chapter, we see that taking place. We see the disciples, they left everything, and they followed him. Conversion is not reform. You can't take yourself and tidy up a little bit here, tidy up a little bit here, go a little bit closer here, come attend church a little bit more, join this church, join this one, follow this priest. It doesn't work. Jesus says, follow me. And in following him, dear ones, we have to leave everything. Conversion is a new beginning. It's a new man. It's a new heart. It's one that is filled with Christ, his grace. It is only his grace that can accept his gospel. So when we receive his grace through faith in him, we can receive the power of his word. We can be transformed. We can become new men, and leaving the old behind. There was, we see here that Jesus is preaching the word of God. It says here, they pressed upon him to hear the word of God. These are common men who were cast aside, who have no hope, who the religious authorities of that day didn't want to have nothing to do with them. All they did is laid burden and burden upon them, as they were the elitists. They were the ones that were holy and good and so on. And Jesus goes and he's preaching, and the multitudes are gathering together. They want to hear this preacher from Galilee. And it tells us here that he sees two ships there, and he sees fishermen that were gone out of them. The ships are empty. The fishermen's out. They're washing their nets. And he says to Simon, who he's already met before, a Simon who he already told him, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. And we see Simon has gone back to fishing. He went back to fishing for fish. And he's here, and he just tells Simon, I pray you, thrust out a little bit. I'm going to make your boat a pulpit. I'm going to preach from your boat. He says, set it out, push it out a little bit, thrust it out from the land. And he sits down and he teaches the people out of the ship. And after he had finished, he tells Simon, launch out into the deep. Go out. Cast your net. And Simon, who's an expert fisherman, he knows fishing. He knows fishing. He says, We were out there all night. There's nothing out there. We didn't take anything in. We didn't catch one fish. I know. There's nothing there. But because you said it, at thy word, I'll go. And I'm going to show you there's nothing there. It says when they did this, they enclosed a multitude of fishes, a great multitude, that their nets broke. He's an expert fisherman, but he never caught this many fish. And as he sees what's taking place, he calls the other boat, come out here. Come out here. Help us. They came. They filled the ships, and the ships are sinking under the weight of the fish. Their ships can't handle the amount. And he said, there's nothing out there. So when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees. Because of his unbelief, because he said, I'm going to go and I'm going to do what you said, but I don't have faith in that. But because you said it, just because you said it, I'm going to do it. He says, depart from me. I am a sinful man, O Lord. We have to recognize, dear ones, that we are just sinful men. That the ways of the Lord are perfect. Altogether, when he commands us, when he tells us to do something, we are not to question why. How come? Well, that won't work. That way doesn't work in today's day. This is a new society. This is different. Lord, you just don't know. But I'll go. Now, you're a sinful man. Peter recognized that. What I did because I lacked faith, because I thought I knew better. And I realize now that I am a sinful man in your presence, O Lord. And he says, depart from me. I can't even be in your presence as I am. And we must reach that point, or we will never be able to experience him. A man who is proud, a man who thinks he knows something is Peter. He knew his craft, or so he thought. And maybe he did. He knew how, what, where, when, but he couldn't catch any fish. And that he just needed to follow the Lord's direction. Dear ones, as we go through life, there's many times that we reason things out. The word says it like this, but, you know, that was a different time. That was a different era. It's a little bit different now. You know, we can improvise. We can change something. When we think like that, we need to realize, as Simon did here, I'm just a sinful man. I'm taking, Lord, the power of your word. I'm taking the power of your word, and I'm toying with it. I want to change it because I think I can catch more fish my way. There's two fishers of men. Jesus is a fisher of men. Satan is a fisher of men. It tells us in 2 Timothy, I believe, of who the devil is. Says that they may. He talks about men to recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. He's got his hook out for you too. And on that hook, there's no cross. On the hook of Jesus is a cross. On the devil's hook, he says, what is there? It's everything that you can see. Everything that your eye can see. Everything that will corrupt. That moth and rust will corrupt. Everything is there. It's yours. Take it. He says, and look how Paul is saying this. He says, instruct those who are opposing themselves, if God will peradventure, that he would give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. There's only one way. It's not the way that these men are going. And he's telling Timothy, instruct them. Instruct them in the ways of the Lord. Don't be messing around. Give the gospel perchance that they would repent in the acknowledging of the truth of God, that they may recover themselves from the snare in which they are in, the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by his will. Dear ones, Satan is just toying with us. We're taken captive by his will. Why? Because what he is offering us, it makes sense to us. To the carnal man, there's delight. There's a way of understanding. I can see it. I can see there's something good for me. It feels good. It looks good. It gives me pleasure and so on. It's there. I'll take it. And I'm taken captive at his will. And Paul is beseeching Timothy. He goes, preach the truth. Give them the gospel so then in acknowledging of that as the truth of God, that they can recover from that snare in which they have gone after and bit into that lure and have been taken away from the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says, he told them, depart me. He says, because he was astonished. And all that were with him were astonished. This has never seen anything like this. Career fishermen, they've never seen anything like this. Only at his word. Go and do. The power of God. And he says, James, John, the sons of Zebedee were there. They were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Fear not." Simon is saying, "Depart from me, I'm a sinful man." And Jesus tells him, "Don't fear. From henceforth, from now on, you're going to catch men. You're going to be with me. You're going to be my disciple. And I will show you a way in which you can go and spread the gospel." And we know that at Pentecost, that great amount as the fisher of men that Jesus told him he would become, there's 3,000 men that were added in one single, at one preaching of the word of God. And we have that sermon recorded in the scripture. We should know it. We should know it very well. And we should study it. That is what he used, the word of God, to take 3,000 men out of their sins with one word, a word that did not deviate from what the Lord has showed him and taught him and exposed him to the truths of God. He says, "From now on, you're going to catch men." And here's the key. This is a conversion, my dear friends. This is what conversion looks like. He says, they brought their ships to the land. They forsook all. They forsook a little bit? No. They forsook almost everything? No. They forsook all. And then they followed him. You can't follow him and hold on to anything. We go on and we read of the cleansing of the leper. We know what a leper was. A man who was unclean. A man who, when he was diagnosed to be a leper, he had to be separated. He had to be separated from his wife, from his children, from his family, from everyone. He lost everything that he had. He was separated from everything. And whenever he would go, he would have to shout that he is unclean so the people would clear away, because they don't want to come near him lest that leprosy would transfer onto them and they would become infected. And a man full of leprosy, it is spread throughout his body. And apparently, as he was coming closer to Jesus, the people were making way for him, because that's what they did. And he comes before the Lord, and he falls upon his face. He knows who Jesus is. He heard the fame that was spread abroad of him. And he comes to him. He says, "I'm going to go to him. Because with this leprosy, I am absolutely hopeless and helpless. I have nothing. I have nowhere to turn. Nowhere. My dear friend, outside of Jesus, in your sin, you are a leper with no hope. Zero. You can't turn to anyone except to Jesus. He alone can save you from the leprosy of sin that has overwhelmed and overtaken you, and you are completely in the snare of the devil. You cannot finagle your way out of it. You can't reform your way. You can't say, okay, I'm going to stop doing this. I'm going to stop this. No, you can't. You have to follow Jesus. And in following him, everything falls off. I forsook everything. It's him. He is my light. And David says, David says in Psalm 36 in verse 9, he says, "For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light." Only in the presence of Jesus will you see light out of this darkness. The darkness that you are in, you can't see anything, because he is the only source of light that exists in the world today. The only way that you can see out of the darkness that you are in is to look upon Jesus. And it says, "In thy light we will see light." It's him. It's always him. And you have to forsake everything in order to follow him, to be cleansed of your leprosy of sin. As he says here, he fell on his face and besought him, saying, "Lord, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He had a faith in him. He knew that his only way out of that was through the Lord Jesus. He says, I know you can do it. If you're willing to, you can make me clean. So, if I'm a believer, if I believe that, and then I don't want to, and then I don't follow after him, is it because he doesn't want to make me clean? No, it's because I don't want to fall prostrate at his feet. That's why. I don't want to fall in submission unto him. And in not doing so, he can't make me clean. He can't. Say, what do you mean he can't? Well, he can't. We have to submit to him. What do we want to do? We want to be made whole in our sins? We have to be made whole from our sins, healed from those things, cleansed from those things through his precious and atoning blood. It's the only way. And it says, when Jesus heard this, when he saw his faith that saved, his faith that saved him, he says, I will. You want to be cleansed? I will. And he stretched forth his hand and he touched him. It's probably the first touch of a human that he had felt in a long time. He touched him, he says, I will. Be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he told him, go to the priest for their sake. Go to the priest. There's a law, and we can read that in Leviticus, of what the leper had to do when he was cleansed, and there's no record of it ever happening. The first person that was that leprosy, an account of it we can see is Moses and his sister Miriam after him. But there's no cleansing. We never read of someone that had gone through this ritual. But he says, go to the priest. There's going to have to be a sacrifice, and we can follow that all in there. But the point is, this man, in his faith, because he believed in Jesus, he wanted to be made whole. He knew that Jesus could do it, and he wanted to follow him. He fell down at his feet, and he said, Lord, make me clean. If it's your will, you can do it. Of course it's his will. Fall prostrate before him. Acknowledge him. And with the power of his word, he said, be thou clean. We read that in Hebrews, just a beautiful beginning in Hebrews where it says, talks about God in times past. He said, he spoke unto the fathers by the prophets, and in these last days he spoke unto us by his Son. He says, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, he says, be thou clean. And by that word, that man was made clean. And dear ones, by his word, his blood, his precious blood, which was shed already for our sins. When we come to him, Lord, I will, make me whole. He will. And it says, and after that, so much more went out the fame of him. And great multitudes came to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he goes out and he prays. And we go into a man who was sick of the palsy. And his faith is shown here. I'm running out of time, dear ones, but it talks here of the faith of the man who was sick, who was paralyzed. He couldn't walk. And the man brought him, hearing Jesus is there. The multitudes were so great, they couldn't even press up. Is there those multitudes right now? They need to hear the word of the Lord? Or do we look for every opportunity we can to escape hearing it? I'm busy. Oh man, I'm tired today. That was a long day. I need a weekend to recover. I need time for myself too. I just need. The multitudes pressed upon him. They couldn't bring this man to him. The word is the word that precious to us. It's the word of his power. And it says here that they brought him to them, lowered him through the tile on the roof, and he comes there. He's lowered down, and it says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to him, "Man, look what he says, thy sins are forgiven." Right away, the Pharisees, "What? He's an imposter. Who can forgive sins but God?" And that's exactly what Jesus was showing them. I am God. I can forgive sins. I do forgive sins. I am God. They said, "This is blasphemous." No, it would be if he wasn't God, but he is God. So it's not blasphemous. And so he says, "To show you," he says, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk. Your palsy is over. Stand up, walk." And he glorified God, departed. And quickly, we'll just go into the call of Matthew here, who's named Levi. That's Matthew as we know him. He's sitting at the receipt of custom. He's a publican. He's collecting money. He's corrupt in every way. The publicans were hated by their fellow Jews. He's a Levite. So he had grown up learning of the customs, learning. The Levites were set aside for special purposes. And he had known, he had been taught by his mom and dad, surely, of the law of God. And he chose, as he grew up, he weighed, okay, here's what I'm being taught. Here's what I'm told to follow. I can become a publican. I can become a tax collector. The Roman Empire has given me the authority to collect money from my fellow citizens here, and I'm going to get a percentage. It's going to be corrupt, but it's okay. I'm going to line my pockets with some serious money. I'm going to have it made. And he did it. And he was good. He was happy, or so he thought. He realized that money didn't make his life. There was an emptiness. There was a void. He had heard of the law of God, and he had forsaken it. And he had followed his own way, something that he thought would give him a delight and a lasting pleasure, and it didn't. And so it tells us here that that Jesus comes across him and he says, "Follow me." That's all he said. Matthew had heard of Jesus. He had seen him. He certainly would have had to have. And even Simon and James and John were probably paying their taxes to him. He's right there. And it says he left all. He rose up and he followed him. He took that which he thought was all his life was in it, left it all. That's what Paul says. "I left everything because I couldn't know Christ if I held on to anything. I'll never know him." There's nothing that Matthew couldn't say, "Well, okay, I'm going to follow you, but you know, I'm still going to keep my job. I'm still going to maybe not tax as much. You know, after all, the Roman authorities are giving me this authority to do this. It's the way of business here." And he says he left everything. He knew what it was because he was called, and so you today, my dear friend, might be sitting here saying, "Wow," but yeah, and we even sometimes are, and I think about this, we're known to think, well, you know, when God calls, you know, nothing can happen until God calls. Well, what makes you say that God is not calling you today when you read of this? Who says, can you say God is not calling me? Can you say that? How can you say that? Based on what? Well, I don't have the feeling. Well, it's because you don't want it. You heard the word, you heard the call, you heard the power of the gospel. You don't want it. That's as simple as that. You don't want it. So you're weighing the bait from Satan, the bait from the Lord, what he's offering. He's offering his cross. I don't want it. No. I'll take this for a short time. I'm going to release myself from that snare. Well, you're hearing the power of, there's only one thing that can take you away from that snare, and that is the power of the word of God. And you're hearing it today. You're hearing who the Lord Jesus is and what he did for you. You're hearing it today. Why aren't you taking it? Why aren't you loosing yourself from the snare of the devil right now as you hear it? And you're going to say, I wasn't called? That's a lie. That's a lie that Satan wants you to believe and wants you to leave this place saying, I haven't been called yet. It's a lie. And we're going to believe a lie because we want what we want. Matthew said, I'm done. I'm weighing it. Here's the world. It's all corrupt. It's all moth. It's all rust. Here's the Lord, his cross. It's a way of the cross, but it's a way of peace and joy. It's a way of power and the Holy Spirit. It's a way of life in that eternal. I don't fear death. I don't fear anything. I don't fear what men is going to do to me. I don't care. The Lord Jesus, I'm going to follow him. He forsook everything. He dropped it. He dropped it right there. He went after Jesus. Dear ones, it's an instantaneous moment. You can't reform your way to it. It's a conversion that must take place in the heart. It takes place immediately. It gives you, empowers you when you say, I will follow you. Yes, through that now, but you drop your sin. You have to have victory. You can't, I'm going to do this and this to have victory. You have victory when you follow him. And now you come to learn, to shore up your belief in all and what it is. And you're baptized in the death of Christ. And you rise up as a new creature. As Zacchaeus had found out, their chief leader of the law, teacher of the law, came to him and he was shown. You must be born again, Zacchaeus. You can't do it on your own. You can't reform. You must be born again. And so, dear ones, We see that what Jesus came to give, it tells us, John says in his gospel, he says, the law was given by Moses. Jesus didn't come to give the law. He didn't come to reform the law. He didn't come to change it. He says, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. You must receive him, his grace, in order to handle his truth. Don't fight. Don't kick against the pricks. Don't kick against the pricks. He talks here of the garments, in which we already touched upon a little bit. He says, the scribes and the Pharisees now murmured against his disciples. But you know what is beautiful, what we read here? It says, Levi made a great feast in his own house. And there was a great, so he called all of the publicans and the sinners, all of his company. He left them. But he called them, come, listen, hear the word. Because I'm leaving your company, but come in here. And he made a great feast. And he called them all. Listen to the word. And what did the Pharisees do? They start murmuring. Oh, look, he's eating with the publicans and the sinners. Jesus says, yes, I am. Because that's who I came to call. You self-righteous ones, the ones who think you hold the law and you know you everything, you don't need me. I can't call you. It's only those who are in need that Jesus calls. Because you hear his call. You recognize yourself. As Matthew recognized who he was, when he saw he was desperate and lost, he came to him. He dropped everything and he followed him. And so he says here, I didn't come to call the righteous, the self-righteous. No, I came to call sinners to what? Repentance. Turn away. It is through the dying of the old man, through the new birth, through the new man arising up, that he will give his robes of righteousness upon. He will clothe you, upon you with his robes of righteousness. It has to be a new man, a new heart to receive his robes of righteousness. It can't be the old. It's going to burst. It can't handle it. As he says here, the garments. You don't take a tattered garment and put in a piece. It can't hold it. It can't hold it. Whatever it's sewn to, it's going to fall apart, just like the wineskins will. Or the bottles for the wine. They're going to burst. They can't hold it. The power of the word of God must be received in a new heart in order to receive him. We must be filled with him, his grace. And then we can receive the power of his word by saying, I will follow you. And I have forsaken everything. So, dear ones, we have Matthew, who looked at what the world had given him, and he looked at what Jesus is offering. And you know, Matthew had. He was a rich man. He had. So he saw everything. And he looked at what Jesus offered him. And Matthew died and the disciple was born. And so, dear ones, when you recognize that what the world is giving me is just that which will be corrupted by moth and rust, you can become a disciple of his. You can serve him. And you can serve him fully. There was, I can't help but think of all of, you know, those who are so close to us who have passed on. And you think of that day when you close your eyes to this life, the pursuits that you had in this life, what are they? When you stand before Jesus, are you going to say, but at least I did this? No. Jesus says hell is the place where the worm dieth not. That will always torment you. That which you thought was worth eternal life is going to torment you for eternity. That was worth it, to forsake him and his ways. That was worth it. That moment, that was worth it. It says, the worm dieth not. It just goes on and on. An eternity of regrets and suffering. How? I don't know, and you don't know. But the Bible says it, and I believe it. And I never want to experience it. You might say, my dear friends, well, the church is full of hypocrites. Well, hell is nothing but. You want to follow hell? What's in hell? And yes, unfortunately, we can see in the times of the scripture, the church always had hypocrites. But the hypocrites are being called today too. Everywhere the word is preached, the gospel, the power of the gospel, it's to awaken us, brothers and sisters. It's to awaken you, my dear friends, all of us, to the power of the word of God that converts, that saves, that brings us into an absolute acknowledging of him as my Lord and my God. To him be glory, praise, and honor forever. Amen.